friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Deb and I are so happy, so glad, so humbled, and so honored that you have chosen to tune in today. We just simply want to tell you we appreciate it. Appreciate your time, appreciate your prayers, appreciate your interest, and pray that God will bless us together. Hey, we're in this together. That's exactly right. Friend, listen, this ministry wouldn't do any good if wouldn't be anybody listening. Me speaking into the air wouldn't be any good at all if nobody was on the other end listening, and I'm glad you are. We are humbled that you are. Debbie's got a great song chosen for us today. Got it queued up, ready to go here in just a minute. But before I do, I want to let you know I've opened my Bible to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 33. And we're going to look at I think is a very special passage of Scripture. It has to do with the part of a life of a man by the name of Jacob. Isn't that amazing? God changed his name, by the way. Changed it from Jacob to Israel. He's quite a character. Quite a character. When you begin to study his life and see how that, in many ways, his life depicts us and the two natures that we possess, the old man Jacob, the new man Israel, and sometimes, folks, sometimes even how long it takes to get to the right place from the wrong place. And we're going to talk about some things today. I've got a specific message on my mind that I believe the Lord has stirred my heart to. I've thought about the text for some time, and I don't have the same text that put me on this message, but I'll tell you what it was as I give you the text that I have for it. Well, enough of that. Here's Debbie. She's got her song tuned up, ready to go, queued up. The title of it is, and you'll like it, I believe, without a doubt, the title of it is Just Around the Bend. So you enjoy this, and when Debbie's done, I'll be back with the message from Genesis 33. She wrote this from a man's testimony by the name of Boaz. It's already gone.
I've heard of a land that's waiting just beyond the river. I've heard of a land that one day I will see. And I know that soon and very soon I'll take my journey to spend eternity in heaven that's waiting just around the bend.
and I hope you do too. What a great song it is, and what a great memory. And what a great memory it provokes in my mind and Debbie's mind too. In the book of Genesis chapter 33, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17, read down through and include the Lord willing, verse 20, and I'll share the message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for us today. He said this, the writer does, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house, and boy, that's an indicator right there, made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth, which means booth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Padan Aram, pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of ground or a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. I'm going to talk to you a little while today. This is the text that I'm going to use today. The text that I had close ain't good enough. I've changed it. I'm going to talk to you about almost there isn't there. Almost there isn't. You know, and I thought, well, I wonder if I've got any kind of little illustration at all to set this message up. Listen, when I was little, when I was just a young'un, I really didn't care about traveling, didn't care about going very far distance in the car. And you know, one of the most famous questions that a child can ask is, are we there yet? Well, can I tell you something, friend? Mom and Dad would say, no, we're not there yet, but we're almost there. Can I tell you all, friend, listen, from somebody that knows the difference from being there and almost being there ain't there. Can I tell you that? I mean to tell you, friend, if we're almost there, we're not there. We're going to get there if we keep traveling, if we keep going, if we stay on the path, if we stay on the road, if we make the effort, we'll get there. But listen, friend, almost there just isn't there. It's just that simple. It's not even like being there. It's not close to, it may be close to there, but close like the original text for this message was that I thought I'd use for a text. Close ain't good enough, friend. Look, close may be pretty good with hand grenades and horseshoes, I've heard all of my life, but I don't know about you, but listen, friend, I'll be honest with you. I want to be where God's blessings are. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be just like God told a man to the name of Moses. He said, look, God, I need to see you. I need to see your glory. And God said, I tell you what. He said, I've got a place in the cleft of the rock. And he said, I'll pass through. I'll let you see the hinder parts of my glory. And look, Moses, the only way for you to be able to do that is for you to look at these two words, be there. Hey, friend, I don't know about you, but I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be where God's blessings are, and I hope that you today. Look, I don't know where this finds you. I don't know how you're related to Jacob. Jacob's quite a character, was he not? I mean, to tell you, listen, friend, he was just as honest as he could be. He was a character in a lot of ways. He was a supplanter, the Bible tells us. He was a con man, a conniver. He took things into his own hands and he controlled them. He created situations to where that he could control them and do things. But can I tell you what, friend? The place for you and I to be as Christians, as followers of Christ, of those who name the name of Jesus, is simply to be obedient to the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God for our life. Hey, listen, we've got to do things. Look, God has called us to good works. Look, He has created us unto good works. 2:10 of the book of Ephesians says it doesn't mean we get saved and sit down sour and soak. It means that we're active. We take part. But here is our part. Our part is to hear the Word of God, to know the will of God for us, and then be obedient to it. Not partially obedient, but obedient. Now look, let me tell you a few things about the life of this man by the name of Jacob. Got a lot of things to say in a little bit of time, and I want to get to the message that I believe God has laid on my heart for us. Look, sir, I don't know who you are, ma'am. I don't know who you are, but I'll tell you what I believe. There's people listening today, somebody, maybe just one person. I don't know, but God's interested in you. If you're not where you ought to be, if you're not where you need to be, if you're not where you used to be, if you're not where you want to be. Look, friend, if there's a longing in your heart, bless God, if you've backslidden, I mean to tell you, if you've strayed away, I mean, if you've just simply slipped away, if you failed to do what Hebrews said, if you failed to embrace the things that are given, you just let things slip away, and the things that have slipped away most is you from your moors, you from your place, you from your testimony, you from your close walk with the Lord. If you're like Peter, walking on the fringes, if you're walking afar off, hey, this message is for you today, but I got news for you. Thank God. I'll tell you, listen, that as long as the throne is occupied, you can get where you need to be, where you used to be, where God wants you to be, where the blessings are. There are too many Christians today. Too many Christians today, friend. And I'm afraid this is a big problem in Christian community today. It's too common for Christians, the way I see it, to try to get the blessings of God on them where they're at. I mean, they'll just settle down to where they're at instead of doing what it takes, whatever God has called them to do to get to the place that God's blessings are, God's blessings are, God's best is. Hey, friend, listen, God's not going to conform to our will. God intends for me and you, sir, ma'am, to conform to His will. And if you're not getting the blessings, I mean to tell you, if you're not there, can I encourage you? Can I implore you? Can I beg you? Can I do whatever to you to get you to do whatever it takes to get there? Now look, if you know anything about the story of Jacob, he's a twin brother of Esau. And boy, I'll tell you what, they're as different as day, light and dark. There came a time when, by the help of his mother, Rebecca, I believe is her name, if I remember correct. Sometimes I get names wrong. If I did, you forgive me. If you don't care, I believe Jacob loved Rachel. He was married to Leah and Rachel, but Rebecca, I believe, and he, they connived and got together and deceived his daddy, Isaac. Well, after they did, I mean, God had promised him a blessing. God told Rebecca, look, I'm going to bless your youngest son. The elder's going to serve him. I'll take care of it. Hey, can I tell you, anytime we get in the way of God's will, we suffer for it. You say, preacher, I need God's will in my life now. I need to know what it is today. Can I tell you, friend, listen. We just simply need to wait. We need to stand still and see the salvation of God. When we get to a place where the enemy's behind us, seems like no way to go before us, no exit to the left or to the right, we just simply need to stand still and see the salvation of God. We begin to put our hand to it and our head on it. Bless God, we get in trouble. Well, you know the problem. Look, Esau got angry. The Bible said that Isaac trembled and Rebecca and Jacob connived. Well, Mama said, look, you tell Daddy that you want to get married, and I'll tell him to send you back to my father and my brother's house in Padam Aram. You go up there and you stay a few weeks or a few days, and then we'll see you again. Do you know what? Listen, when old Jacob lit out that night to go to Padam Aram, he was all alone. He was scared to death, no doubt. In my mind, there's no way I believe that his mother nor he thought that would be the last time they would see each other, and it was on this planet, Earth, on terra firma. I believe she died before he got back home, but he went there just to spend, no doubt, a little bit of time when he got there. I listened, friend. He stopped when he headed there. He stopped at a place called Bethel. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, it was love at the first, but that night he was asleep, put his head on a pillow, and God showed him some things. He saw a ladder reaching from heaven to earth, the earth standing on the top of it, and God gave him a blessing. God told him, look, if he would obey him, if he would believe him, if he'd live for it, hey, He would absolutely bless him. He promised Jacob that God would, that he would go with him every step of the way. Well, hopefully you can read the story, but I want you to know, look, In chapter 31, verse 11 and 5, when the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, and here Jacob's reflecting back when he's getting ready to head out of Paddan Aram, away from Laban, and to take his wives and go back to the place where God had promised him. He said, look, the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams that leap upon the cattle are ringstrake, speckled and grizzled, and I have seen all that Laban doth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, the God of the house of God, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee from the land, and return to the land of thy kindred. Hey, listen, friend, you may have fled. You may have got out of town. You may have let down. You may have sat down. You may have laid down. I don't know what the case is, but I'm telling you, friend, I believe God's calling you today to get back home. Look, let me tell you something. God was very specific here in chapter 31 and verse 13. He said, I'm the God of Bethel. He said, return unto the land of thy kingdom. Well, you know what Jacob did? Jacob began to put a plan in place. God even led him in this and directed him and showed him how that he could prosper, how that he'd get the proper wages that he deserved from his uncle Laban. That was a greater supplanter and a greater con artist than he was. He'd been there for 20 years now. It's time to get back home. And he began to make the plans, and the plans came to pass. Hey, the two wives and all of the concubines and all of the servants and all of the sheep and the cattle and the goats and camels and kids, they loaded up and headed out. Well, do you know what? Listen, there are some things that happen. Bless God, there are some things that happen on the way. I mean to tell you, even Jacob ran into God again, wrestled with him all night. Actually, the Lord wrestled with Jacob all night there at the brook of where was it? Jabbok? May I believe that's where it was at. But I'll tell you, listen, the next day, old Jacob met, and I hope you're getting something out of this. Look, I'm getting down to the message that told you it'd take a while. But old Jacob, he was getting ready to run into Esau. 20 years had passed. A lot of things had happened. God had blessed both of those boys. Esau remembered that he had stolen his blessing. He had lost it for a bowl of porridge. He didn't esteem it very highly. He gave it up. But listen, God was in the works. God was guiding this. And God said, listen, it's going to be all right. Hey, I want you to know, friend, look. The Bible tells us that Esau and Jacob, they made up and then they separated. And look, I want to read this to you again in verse 17 of chapter 33. I mean, Esau said, look, I'll leave some men with you to protect you. And Jacob said, no, you just head back to Mount Seir. I'll make my way there. We'll just have to travel slowly. But hey, Jacob wasn't about to go to Seir. He knew where he was headed. He started out headed to Bethel. But look what it says in verse 30 and 17 of chapter 33. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth. And look at the phrase, and built him a house there, and made booths for his cattle. You know what he did? He settled down. Listen, friend, he found him a place that he liked. And I want you to know, it cost him something. He decided to build a house, friend. Hey, when he had a pilgrim character, he was to live in tents. And I don't know how many numbers of years that he dwelt there, but it was enough. Bless God for his daughter Dinah to grow up. And it was enough time, friend, for the devil, bless God, to devise a plot that was very expensive. And the Bible says in verse 18, and Jacob came to Shalem, to a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. Now it seems to me in one verse to the next that Jacob, bless God, kindly got it back together, regained his pilgrim identity. God has pitched his tent, gave up his home. But look at what the Word of God says. Just like Lot did, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Bless God, this man by the name of Jacob pitched his tent towards Shalem. Boy, not a good thing. Do you hear me? But wait just a minute. Wade, just a minute, verse 20 says, and he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, I'm the God of Israel. Hey, you saw when a preacher, he was worshiping God there. I mean, when he got there, look, though he had his tent pitched, look, his heart was still right. He pitched it before the city. I mean, he appeared to get closer to Bethel than what he ever had been. He had even recaptured some of his pilgrim character, if you will. But can I tell you, friend, can I tell you, sir, ma'am, that's not close enough. Bless God, that's not Bethel. It's close. It's almost there, but it ain't there. Can I tell you, friend, listen, it isn't there. That wasn't enough. Well, you say, when a preacher, he erected him an altar. He began to worship God. Yeah, he did. Without a doubt, he did. But can I tell you, friend, listen, he was trying to do it his way. Bless God, he had will worship here. He erected an altar. I mean, he erected it to the God of Israel. But look, it wasn't God's will for him to be there. It wasn't God's place that he had decided for him. Hey, he may have been worshiping God, but he wanted God to bless his plans. And God had plans for him that he wanted to bless. Oh, friend, almost there, isn't there? If you're going down in chapter 34, boy, I'll tell you, it reveals a dark hit piece of history in the life of Jacob and his family. Listen, friend, he paid a great price for not being where God told him to be, for disobeying the clear will of God. You see, God had a place for him. God had separated him from the ways of the Canaanites, from the Canaanites themselves. Hey, he was in the land, but he wasn't of the land. Bless God, that wasn't his family. That wasn't his group. And God's children, friend, listen, never, bless God, are to mingle with the world. We're to be separated from it. I mean, to tell you, God knows what's best is for us, and He tells us to come out from among the world. And I want you to know, we're going into chapter 35. We've got a great record there. We've got a great record of deaths, of burials. We've got a great record, bless God, of renewal and change. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, if you read that, look what he said in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. God was still after him. Hey, friend, I don't know who you are. Don't know, just like I said at the beginning of this, where you've been, what you've been doing, who you've been doing it with. Don't know how long you've been out. Bless God, on the fringes of your fellowship and relationship with Jesus. Don't know how long you've been disobedient. Don't know how long you've been involved in things and places that you shouldn't be. Don't know where you've settled down. Don't know where you've tried to worship to get God to bless you because you wanted Him to bless your ways. And God, listen, was reserving His best for you until you get to the place that's best for you. Thank God. Listen, He got to the place. Bethel was the place God wanted him to be. And nothing short of Bethel would work. Do you hear me? I don't care how good it was. Don't care how good it looked. Don't care how pleasing to the man that it was. Don't care how welcoming. Bless God, the people in that area made him. I want you to know, listen, friend, bless God, he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He wasn't made for this world. He wasn't made for Shechem. He wasn't made for Shalem. He wasn't made for Paddan Aram. He was made, bless God, for God of the house of God. Well, I'm glad that old Jacob made it, aren't you? You know what? It cost him something. Bless God, it cost him something. I mean, to tell you, there were deaths. There were death of a wife that he loved, and she's the one that brought Laban's idol with them. I mean, to tell you, they had to get rid of their association with things of the world. Those earrings identified them with certain demons and certain idols, actually. I mean, to tell you, you know what else they had to do? Bless God, they had to change your garments. Isn't that amazing? You know what they had to do? They had to change your character. Hey, friend, listen. almost there, isn't there. I'll tell you what, you can get there if you choose. If you start out today, if you repent, if you do the renewal that you need to do, bless God. If you let the Word of God cleanse you up, if you have a little talk with Jesus and ask Him to stir you up and fill you up, if you just go to Him and say like David did, God, I have sinned, offer no excuse. I've disobeyed. I've delayed. Oh, God, forgive me. Look, you know what God will do? God will change you. He'll do that. Bless God, He'll cleanse you. And oh, you know what He'll do? He'll do you like He did Peter after Peter was converted. He'll bless you. He'll use you in a mighty way. Almost there isn't there, friend. Get up. Get going spiritually again. Lay down what you've got that you don't need. Bury stuff. Burn stuff. Hey, listen, friend. Lay it aside. Do whatever you need to do so God can bless you. God can be glorified by you so you can get to the place that God has called you to. Listen, almost there isn't there. Until the next time, may God bless you.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEVBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.